praise God and trust that God is keeping you and watching over your life. Indeed, it's a blessed morning to listen to God's word, and I thank you for tuning in. We are in the book of Acts. This is Spirit and Life, and basically it stems from John chapter 6 verse 63, where Jesus told his disciples that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And I pray that each and every morning that you listen, that each and every sermon that you listen to, that you experience the communications of the Spirit of God. And the translation of that is that it breathes life to your spirit, and that you experience the life of God, the Zoe, the life of God. And indeed, as we are in the book of Acts, we have been going through the journeys of Paul. And we are in the second missionary journey, and we can see how he encounters the Lord and how God leads him to Macedonia. He wanted to go to Asia, but the Lord said no, the Holy Spirit forbade him from going to Asia. And he wanted to go to Mysia and Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus forbade him. But then in the night, he has a dream where he sees a Macedonian man. And the Macedonian man calls out to him, come over to us and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And immediately he woke up, he concluded that the Lord had called them to go to Macedonia. And indeed, in the Macedonian churches, there are three churches that are in Macedonia. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Colossians, the Philippians, the Thessalonians, and the Bereans. And we've been looking at the Philippians, and we saw where he, in the city of Philippi, he faced the challenges. Initially, he preached to Lydia of Thyatira, and she accepted the message, and she welcomed Paul to stay with him. Then eventually he encounters a slave girl with the spirit of divination. They fight it out and he casts out that demon and eventually faces persecution. He is arrested, but God has sent him to prison to preach to the jailer. And yesterday we were able to see the other side of prison ministry, where we not only look at the prisoners, but we also look at those who are jailing them, those guards, those magistrates, those leaders that are responsible for authority. But then today we see that now it's a responsibility where he is supposed to be released, and they want to send him away quietly, but Paul insists that no, you cannot beat us as Romans without a public hearing. And since you did that, you have to come yourself and let us go. And this is what we were able to see yesterday. But today we want to move to Thessalonica. And the ministry in Thessalonica is one, you know, when you look at Thessalonica, it's one of the major cities of Macedonia. And it was part of a major highway that extended quite a significant distance. And even Rome itself had allowed Thessalonica to be independent, in that because it was a wealthy city. However, when Paul reaches and he preaches the gospel to them, because he had just left Philippi, this is a town where he only has 3 weeks to do ministry. So the Thessalonians church is a church that is established by Paul in just 3 weeks, because immediately he started, then the Jews who were in Philippi, when they heard that he had moved to Thessalonica and he had preached the gospel there, they came and created trouble. And Paul eventually has to move to the next location, which is Berea. Now, one of the things that you will see for a church that is established in three weeks, Paul has to send back Timothy to them and Silas, and when he sends them, it is to encourage them, and he sends them with a letter. And this is actually the foundation of the first and the second Thessalonians book, you see, he encourages them. He is happy with what he has been told, that they are strengthened in the faith, that they are comforted. And however, he also gives them a lesson that he had not had a chance to teach them, which was about the end times, Christ's return. And so when he sends them, he tells them to know that the Lord will come. There'll be a shout of trumpet and all this. But then there is a misinterpretation of the message where you find that now, because some thought that Jesus had already come and people had preached to them that, oh, some became lazy and they stopped working and they were like, oh, Jesus is coming, so they need to send away everything, sell everything that they had. But now he has to correct them. He tells them that, you know what, no, there'll be certain signs that will come. First, the man of lawlessness will come, and then after that, he will come with signs, miracles, and wonders and deceive many. And then there will be great tribulation, and then the rapture will happen, and there will be a, you know, there will be that trumpet from heaven, and the dead will rise. So when we see this ministry of Thessalonica, we have to link it with even the First and Second Thessalonians, where he writes these letters to that church, because this is a church that is established in only 3 weeks. And let us read, maybe so that we can be able to establish that in Acts. We're in Acts chapter 17, and we will read verse 1. The Bible says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas." So, first of all, we see that he goes and finds a synagogue. Remember, it was a leading city of trade, and he finds a synagogue, and as was his custom. So Paul had a pattern where he would use to preach. He would go to a city, find the synagogue where the Jews and Gentiles will go and pray. And remember, when they are told, "Oh, do you have a word for us?" then he will stand up and reason with them. And what was his message? He started to prove to them that the Christ had to suffer, to resurrect, to die and resurrect. And he shows them that this Jesus that he preached is the Christ. And so when people believed, some people were persuaded and joined them. But it's not everyone that believed. So verse 5, the Bible tells us, "But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.' Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go." Verse 10, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now, just to pause there, because today we want to look at the ministry at Thessalonica. We can see that Paul, 3 Saturdays, 3 Sabbaths only, he reasons the gospel with them. He shows them that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, there are those who are persuaded, the leading women, the Greeks, and some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. And the Bible says a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews who were not persuaded became jealous. You see, that's the thing about ministry. When God empowers you, when God gives you a message, you will find that God will draw men to himself, especially when Christ is lifted up. But there is no ministry that is without opposition. And one of the characteristics that we see in the life of Paul is that he was opposed seriously by the Jews. The Jews really opposed this message. And we can see what were the reasons of the opposition, jealousy. They became envious that Paul was winning people over for the gospel and they were going to leave Judaism. And so they go to the house of Jason, where Jason had hosted them. He had hosted Paul and Silas. And I love the testimony they say that this man who have turned the world upside down. I tell you, God is able to just use available vessels to not just turn cities, but to turn the world upside down, to cause chaos in the kingdom of darkness, to cause trouble that men will know that this was sent by God. And when they were sent by God, they went and turned the world upside down. The gospel does not come in peace. And Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace to the world, but I came to bring a sword, and by it I will bring conflict between a father and a child, you know, a husband and a wife, and a mother and a daughter. Why? To separate, because the gospel contradicts the traditions of men. It contradicts the laws of men. It brings men to the place where they have to question themselves. Am I following my past, or am I taking on the new wineskins? New wine cannot be poured on old wineskins because they will break. And the gospel comes as a message that generates change, generates a difference. So 3 weeks and they have to move. But you see, the gospel is not changed. The gospel is working. The gospel is working. That word that is planted in the hearts of men has the ability, has the capacity to grow. Why? Because it is a seed. It is a seed. The seed is the word of God. And this, for 3 weeks, who believed? Paul, once he runs to Berea, he has to send back Timothy to them with a letter. And when he sends them, to encourage them and to tell them that this is their newfound faith. This is why they believe. Yes, you will face persecutions, but believe that Christ is coming back and he will deliver his people. And once he tells them that, some people unfortunately get confused and they believe that Jesus has come back. Others believe that they don't need to work. They just need to sell everything that they have and wait for Jesus coming. And so he has to correct it. Churches are established by Christ. Now let us also just look at Berea, because we are given a comparison between the two. Verse 10, the Bible says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. That means they were more noble. And what was the difference between the Bereans? The Bible says, in that they received the word with all readiness. That means with gladness. They received the word of God with readiness. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. So you can see the journey. And for me, when you think about the Bereans, and this is an important aspect that we always keep saying, can we be like Bereans? The Bible says they were more noble. The Bereans were more noble. They were more fair-minded than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they received the word of God with all readiness, with all gladness. But it did not just stop there. Daily, they searched the scriptures to see, is what Paul's saying in line with the gospel? Yes, you've been hearing the word. Yes, you hear the message. But do you take back time to just go and look at your notes? I know some people have thousands of notes, thousands of books. But do you go back and look at them? And check and confirm that what you have heard is in line with the scriptures. And you know, I was asking myself, it's interesting why the Bereans, we don't have a letter to the Bereans. Was there no need? What we see is that the Bereans search the scriptures and believe for themselves. As they were taught, they understood. And thus they did not even need a letter to correct them. But one of the things that we know about Paul's letters is that when the one letter was read in one church, it was shared with all the other churches so that they can also hear the same thing. And this was always a command that he would say, please, whatever letter you have received, share it with this church and exchange the other letter so that they read. And that is why his letters became scripture. But there is a call to be Bereans. There is a call to dig deeper. And I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation for you to know him better, for you to understand him, for your eyes to be open, for your hearts to be open, because it's only God that can open your eyes. Remember when Jesus spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he opened their understanding. And one of the prayers that you need to ask God is, God, open my understanding. Open my inner man. Open my eyes to see the kingdom. Because when your eyes are open, they're not opened physically, but it's the eyes of your understanding that are opened. They're enlightened that you may know the exceeding power, greatness of the power that is available for you as a believer. That same power that raised Christ from the dead and sat him at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities, all powers, all might. And he did this for his body, for the church. Once your eyes are open, you will see mysteries. You will have understanding of truth. You will know your position in Christ. You'll know why it is that you can speak out. And then after your eyes are open, then God will give you a commission to make all men see the mystery of the fellowship of the mystery. That means that once your eyes are open, then he is a burden that he places in you to also open eyes of others, to lead others to the light, such that they can encounter the truth of the gospel. My prayer for you is, may we, be it a short time, be it a long time, be it 3 weeks of Thessalonica, or digging of Bereans, may we be established in truth and may the word of God work in our lives. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministration of today morning that you've given us. A moment to reflect on your truth, a moment to reflect on the ministry at Thessalonica, the ministry at Berea. We've seen the opposition, we've seen the challenges, but your word is working. And may your word work. May the seeds that we establish in men work, be it for 30 minutes in a plane, be it for 5 minutes of interactions, of sharing the gospel. May that seed bear fruit, O God. And may there be a stirring to go and dig deep into the words, into the truth, to the praise and honor of your holy name. Cover your people, watch over them, strengthen your servants, open their eyes to understanding, and indeed may the nations hear the gospel. We thank you that this day is ordered and blessed of you. Those that are sick, we pray for a word of healing over them. Remember those that have to go through various surgeries. Your provision, your hand be with them, O God. Thank you for open doors, for needs that need to be opened. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed day ahead.